And when was it that you decided to take the test, the Zika test?
Well, I think around August, mid-August, they announced it was in Miami Beach. I was actually on vacation in Colorado, so I wasn't even here in Miami Beach, but a few people texted me at that time. And when I came back towards the end of August, the OBGYN that I was seeing that day informed me that they're now recommending that all pregnant women get tested once every trimester. So at that point, he gave me the prescription to get tested for the Zika virus. They wanted me to take a very specific test, and that test was only given by LabCorp, and that wasn't part of my insurance. So I took a few days to try to figure out, okay, well, what is the cost of this test, and how is this, is there another provider that's in network? And after finding out that the answer was no, I still went to LabCorp and got tested there. What it was testing was is to see if I had the antibody in my body, and so it would at least let them know that I had been exposed or infected in the recent past.
Mm-hmm. So that's what they found.
Right. So I got the test. My initial test results we got, I think it was like October 7th. It was actually during the madness of the hurricane. I still had a follow-up appointment that Friday. And the doctor at that time told me that I had tested positive for the Zika virus, but that there was still a possibility that there was a follow-up test that needed to be done, that there could be a false positive, because he did ask a series of follow-up questions, like if I had been exposed to dengue, if I had been exposed to yellow fever or chikungunya, I think specifically. And I did explain to him, look, I travel regularly into Latin America, but I don't think I've had any of those, because I would have, I think, known by their symptoms. So he was, I think, being very cautious and trying to, you know, I think, keep me very centered at that time and not have me worry.
And after the follow-up test, what did they say then?
Well, what happened was he then sent me to another test, which that test was the other test that only actually lets you know if that virus is still in your body. That one came back negative. So I did that test fairly soon thereafter. But when I went back a week later, I had a different OB doctor in the practice, because they rotate. So you don't always see the same doctor. And then that doctor had sort of a much more serious, I shouldn't say serious, but I would say a much more somber spin on it, in the sense that he said, you know, I think it's highly unlikely you have a false positive. And you need to start thinking like you have this, and you need to start preparing for yourself for the possibility that your child was also infected. And then he tried, of course, to also, you know, comfort me and say, look, you know, it's going to be okay. You've contracted it fairly late in your pregnancy. And, you know, and that's kind of like, at that point, I think, where the reality really hit me, that this wasn't like, oh, I have a false positive because I've traveled to South America a lot and I have a yellow fever vaccine, but rather the reality of this is really happening.
And when he said prepare, he meant mentally prepared, or there are also real, I mean, what does it mean now that you are under supervision? And
yeah, I mean, I asked him at that time, I asked the doctor at that time, what does it mean? I said, well, what, how does this change my care, and how does, and what happens to the baby? Would it, you know, and at that point he said, you know, once the baby's born, you will probably have some specialists, like a developmental center, that would follow the child. And, you know, unfortunately the information he had was very broad and very kind of like high level.
You mentioned that you're still telling family members. How do you explain? What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, it was very difficult. I think it took my husband and I, just like, I think that day is when it really hit us, when we said, this is really happening. This is not like some bad dream. We first only reached out to some very close family members. My husband and I are devout Christians. So, you know, our primary you know, reaction was to find, you know, brothers and sisters in our faith that could pray, because what we realize is that there's really absolutely nothing the doctors can do at this time. There's nothing I can do. You know, it's really outside of our hands. So we started telling first some of our close friends that we felt could not just pray for us, but pray for the baby, pray for healing, for protection, and just to give us strength. And then little by little, we've started telling some other family members. And so I think each time it gets a little less difficult. I have another pregnant woman in my family who I still have not been able to tell, because I want to warn her. I want her to be ready. So I've been talking to her, make sure you're protecting yourself and doing this and doing that. But at the same time, I don't want her to go into like a panic. And we actually had a family birthday party last weekend. But because everyone was there and it was such a joyous occasion, I couldn't bring myself to talk to her at that time. But, you know, my husband and I have been talking about, you know, little by little, we've, you know, been telling more and more family members and friends, and, you know, just telling them, you know, this is what's going on. This is what the prognosis is. And please just pray for our family and pray for the baby.